You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 2nd. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker, here with Matt Braun, writer at Twins Daily. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. Sully's great. Go subscribe to that. You know who else is great? Matty Braun. He's back today. I'm glad we're talking Twins baseball. Been a couple weeks since Matt's been on, but not much has changed in the way of playing better ball. Matt, Twins lose tonight 6-3. What's on the top of your mind?
I think it's become quite clear at this point, if it hadn't already, that this is just simply not a good team. I mean, if you can't take care of business against Baltimore, then stick a fork in you, man. You don't really have much hope for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and we talked early on when they got off to that 5-2 start, and I think I want to say they might have been like 7-12 when we recorded. Like they were not playing well, but they were only like 4 or 5 games below 500. And at that time, we both were like, okay, like, let's try to turn it around. You know, they will. I think we both felt somewhat confident that it would happen. And they have had little stretches here where they are playing better. But, you know, for the most part, it's been the same tired effort every night. So, Matt, on June 2nd, 2019, the Minnesota Twins led the American League Central by 11.5 games. On June 2nd, 2021, the Twins trail in the American League Central by 11 games. What's your reaction to that? Like, what would you have said if I told you that before the season?
Are you trying to make me cry or something here? Like what's up, man?
Well, you know, part of the good thing is like Cleveland came back and closed that gap, but of course it was against the Twins because bad things usually happen to the Twins. Is there any hope at all within you as you say they're a bad team? Is there any hope at all?
Well, of course, I think there is some slight hope. As you mentioned, yes, in 2019, Cleveland did come all the way back. They tied it at one point, never took the outright lead, I do believe, or maybe they did for like a game or two. But we know how that went. The Twins came back, had a monstrous September. They won the division. I think if anything, that's a good comparison. And that's a good example of, you know, a team coming back from this. We saw it that very same year. The Washington Nationals were, what was it famously, 19-31. Yep. What they do, they won the World Series. So, you know, we still have a lot of time. But what I will say is, from what I have seen, is a team that just simply lacks the ability to put it all together. And I've likened it before, but this team is exactly like the 2018 team. It was just that they had so much talent, but just for whatever reason, some poor performances. You had Lance Lynn being a snot. You had, you know, all these weird things just happening. They just could never quite put it together for an extended period of time. And so I see a lot of that in this team. And even if they do put it together, even if, you know, they go on some sort of run, they've dug themselves such a major hole that the best they can really do is you're looking at a wild card spot. And it's not going to be a division. And that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did type that tonight. I said, I think the Sox are going to win this division. And that is so painful to say. And it just hurts to say. But I'm also, like, as someone who's watched the Sox very closely, and of course, a biased, you know, Twins fan, I've watched the Sox. Your mean Mercedes back down to earth. They're still missing two key players. Dylan Cease is coming back to being Dylan Cease. He's not, you know, I watched his outing last night or two nights ago, and he was just brutal. I mean, they're having guys start to regress back. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. But for me, Matt, it's like, you're right. What have they shown us? What have the Twins shown us that they can do it, that they can close that gap? And to me, it's very little. Let's talk about some good things. I mean, it's solidly good things. And there are two of them certainly on this roster right now. It's Alex Kirilloff and Trevor Larnach. What have you thought of the two of them? And maybe split them up and talk about them individually as well, and what you think Twins fans are going to see from them moving forward.
Yeah, well they've been both predictably, at least predictably for me, phenomenal so far in their short amount of time playing. Let's start with Kirilloff, I guess, because he debuted first. Kirilloff, I mean, we've heard about him. You all know about him. It's just, you look at that swing, you take one look at it, and you just know that he's going to be good. You know, he just has this beautiful all fields approach, but at the same time has an ability to not get beat by inside fastballs. He can turn on those, and he can take them right field for a single, maybe even hit it over the fence. And that ability, that kind of bat to ball ability for a pitch literally anywhere in the zone, you don't find it in a lot of guys. It reminds me a lot of, some people might cringe at this, but Eddie Rosario, but in a good way. Eddie had that phenomenal bat to ball ability where, yeah, pitch high and outside, whatever, he'll hit that to left center. Pitch inside, he'll pull that, you know? I think he's a better hitter than Rosario. Add, you know, some points to slugging and OBP, and you got a better player. But that's a lot. It's a similar skill set to me. It's just amped up ever so slightly. And I, as I said before, that's an all-star caliber player, potentially an MVP if you want to go that far. With Larnach, it's a different type of player, slightly different. I see more of a Brandon Nimmo type of a potential for power. Still has a quite small but still noticeable issue with launch angle. When he does get in the air, though, we've seen it. It'll go far. I mean, what was that against the Orioles? Like 460 to dead center? I mean, good Lord. But we'll take his walks, has an advanced feel for the strike zone, average to above average strikeout rate. But at the end of the day, he's going to be a solid hitter. I see him falling in 120, 130 WRC+. That'll stay in the middle of your rotation for, not your rotation, middle of your lineup, excuse me, for a lot of years. I see him being, I don't know if better than Kirilloff, I don't know about worse than Kirilloff. I see them as being equals in total offensive output, just in the different ways they reach that output.
I've compared the two, and yeah, I mean, I think there are legitimate comparisons. I want to know if you think that this comparison is legitimate. Kirilloff, if you were looking at Houston, Alex Kirilloff to me is, his ceiling is like a Michael Brantley, and Trevor Larnach's ceiling is like a Kyle Tucker, is how I see these two guys. Like Tucker's more of the power bat. I know you mentioned like Larnach, the power, the launch angle issues, but I think we've seen that he might within have more raw power than Kirilloff, just because Kirilloff, at least to the eye, and you know, just the way that we've seen him hit the ball, he's more line drives gap to gap, as you said. And I think when we looked and saw him hitting these bombs early on, it was like, oh my goodness, like what could be, right? Like this is super exciting. They are, and it's really fun to have them in the lineup tonight. Nick Gordon was in there tonight as well. You saw Gilberto Celestino in the lineup tonight for the Twins. Ryan Jeffers is back because Mitch Garver got hurt badly yesterday. So you're starting to see a lot of young guys implemented, and that's going to bring questions about the current core, and that's going to bring questions about Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton. And, you know, we're getting into the point now where it's getting late earlier and earlier, and we're thinking about what Buxton could yield at the deadline if he's healthier, you know, what Sano could possibly bring back. What's your view on the future of those two, Matt?
So this has been pretty much topic number one in Twinsdom right now, because I mean, and it's obvious, you know, if the core isn't performing, then what do you do with the core? It's a very simple observation. With Sano, I'll start with Sano because he's the easiest, at least to me. Sano, I say you cut bait. You swallow it, swallow the contract. You just get rid of him. I'm sorry. It's been 90 games since 2019, since the last time we saw a consistent level of production, more than just the 1 or 2 weeks he'll occasionally flare up. I'm talking about a consistent, I want an entire year of above average performance, and he simply has not done that outside of 2019. And we're getting farther and farther away from that year in a lot of ways. We've talked about that before. So I can just no longer rely on him or rely on that this veneer of potential. Because we talked about there for a while. Okay, well, he had injuries. Yeah, you know, this and that. He had weight problems. You know, he's fixed all that. He should have no excuses now. We had a perfectly normal run up into the season. He's been healthy, oddly enough, one of the few guys you can actually been able to count on, and he just simply hasn't been performing. So I say, you know, if you cut him, you cut him. If you can find anyone that takes him and you can get, you know, their 25th ranked prospect, hey, you know, more power to you. At the end of the day, I do not see Miguel Sano on the 2022 Twins. I think that has run its course. Now, Byron Buxton, unfortunately, I also see no future for him on the Twins, but in a different way. I think he, obviously, we've seen the performance on the field. It's mind-blowing. It's Willie Mays-like. It is just, he's the most talented Twin since Joe Mauer, probably more than Joe Mauer, arguably, as far as on-field production. And I truly mean that when I say that, because you just watch him play for more than 5 seconds and you go, yeah, this guy has MVP potential. But again, we just keep coming back. He played 130 games in 2017 and has been nowhere near that in any other year. You just simply cannot count on him to be healthy. And when you can't count on him to be healthy, now your number four outfielder has to be your number three outfielder, because we have to rely on him more. Now you're hampered in how you build your 40-man roster, or even your 26-man roster, just for the major league guys. You have to rely on a guy filling him for a long term, and that simply puts you at such a disadvantage in building a roster that we're seeing it now. We're on the what? They're the seventh center fielder, feels like eighth. Nash, they're calling you up to play center field soon. that's where we're going with this.
Yeah.
And so it's just for him, the problem is just you can't rely on him.
Yeah.
If you can't rely on him, then I'm sorry, but you're going to have to trade him. He does have value, though. I think there's certainly a team out there that's going to say, hey, you know, maybe we're just one season away from him seeing that. We've been thinking that for like 5 years, you know, let's put that burden on another team, maybe. I don't know. But I personally, if you gave me the reins, if I was Derek Falvey, I'm calling up other teams right now and I'm saying, hey, here's this guy. Obviously, we're going to ask for a lot, but let's make a deal.
Today's episode of Locked On Twins is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free long cut and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches, nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On team listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Just $1 in free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, fullyloadedchew.com. Yeah, I hear you, Matt. It's very, very difficult for me to grapple with that. You know, it's really hard think about it, because he's just like on a team that's so unlikable right now and really hard to watch and not fun at all and so disappointing. A healthy Byron Buxton is like the one shining light and has been, and we don't have a healthy Byron Buxton. As you said, he's rarely ever healthy, right? So that's something that we get so excited for every year. It's like such a big part of looking forward to opening day every single year with the Twins is the potential, the chance of a Byron Buxton season where he is not out for a majority of it, because you know what he can do. We all know what he can do. And that's such a big point of excitement. And when you look to the 2022 team, I think it's going to be very hard to want to trade him and think, hey, let's take a bunch of excitement away from 2022. But like you said, I mean, how can you rely on him for 2022? You can. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was finally going to be a little durable this year, and it just didn't happen. Now, you'd love for him to come back and stay healthy. I don't think anyone feels like he will. I don't think anyone has confidence that he will do that. But if he can come back for a month and he's healthy, and you can get the right, it's all about the right deal. It's like I think we've talked before about like trade targets and such, who they could trade for. Cause it was always like the Twins are contending, or they weren't selling very often since we've, you know, been on the podcast together, but it's just like, is it the right deal? Do they have the right deal? And I don't know if you're going to find that, cause Buxton's value is so hard to gauge. I mean, you said it too, you can't rely on them. So why would another team, you know, trade some top prospects? But you think about the Yankees, who just lost Aaron Hicks for the year, you know, and you think about teams that are so under pressure to win, that you could see them fork over for someone like Buxton. What are you doing with Berríos, Matt, if you're the Twins?
Well, I just want to say, because you brought up the Yankees, if Byron Buxton is traded to the Yankees, I will not watch baseball the rest of my life. I will say that much. That is where I draw the line, even if they offer you like Jason.
How much would that suck? He's healthy next year, 150 games. He's second MVP to Mike Trout. Like, yeah, that's...
I should drive over to where you're living right now and just beat you just for saying that. I can't believe that.
I don't know if they would do that. Like, I honestly don't know if there's like an organizational, I mean, they traded J.R. Murphy or traded Hicks over there. And honestly, like, that I think they look back and probably regret that one too. But you look at Berríos, Matt, I mean, I sense that you would also be looking to move him as well with another year of control.
Actually, I'm going to surprise you here, and I'm going to say no. I have a quite odd, quite strange, frankly, I'll admit it, plan for 2022. I do think, as weird as it sounds, there is a way where you can trade Byron Buxton and still actively compete in 2022. And I'm going to look at what the Twins did. I mentioned 2018. It's going to be quite similar in the same vein. Remember, they traded Brian Dozier. They traded Eduardo Escobar. They traded Ryan Pressly. A lot of people love those guys. I mean, I loved them as well.
Yeah.
But it was necessary to do. Although their contracts were expiring, it was a bit easier of a decision. At least these guys have team control. But I see it as quite similar. And what happened in 2019? Oh, they only had arguably the best, you know, season in team history, regular season, that is. So what I do with Jose Berríos is I hold on to him. Of course, the exception is if some team comes knocking down your door with just the most ungodly prospect haul ever. Yeah. You got to do that. And it may happen. Starting pitching is always a premium. You know, teams all around, especially these days when everyone's dropping like flies. I mean, good Lord, like Jack Flaherty just went down the other day because he swung wrong. But they're in the weird National League, so that's their own fault. But anyways, at the end of the day, I would hold on to Berríos, again, unless someone just knocks you over. And I look at potentially pushing our chips forward in 2022 with a rotation of, you got Berríos, you got Maeda coming back. I re-signed Pineda just because I like him. Dobnak, I give him the reins. I say, all right, we're going to stop jerking you around. You're in the rotation full time. And then I haven't looked at the free agent crop yet, but I signed another starting pitcher.
Coleman.
And that's my rotation. And I believe that in this rotation, if you get a bounce back from Maeda, which I'm anticipating, if you have a continued production from Berríos, which, you know, outside of the weird 2022 small sample size, he's been remarkably consistent. Same thing with Pineda, remarkably consistent. Dobnak, a little less so, but I have faith in him ultimately over the long term, finding something together. And then you get a quality number five, an actual quality guy, someone who's better than Hap, someone who's better than Shoemaker. It'd be hard for them to be worse than Shoemaker, but you get what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind of rotation blueprint that can actually push the Twins back into maybe where they were in 2019. The 2019 rotation, by the end of it, it was kind of falling off the wheels. You know, we had Pineda was suspended. Kyle Gibson was just doing Kyle Gibson things. Martin Perez was still around and giving me anxiety. But again, they won 100 games. So I think you can put that together and then push forward, because that's one of the weaknesses right now, is you just have a rotation that just is not holding up right now.
Okay, here's what we know. You know, here's what we know. Nelly will be gone, you know, in free agents, just in free agency. So here's what you're looking at. You're looking at holes at shortstop already. I mean, Polanco at second, and you don't know about his health. Arise is always seems like he gets hurt a lot too. You know, he's often out. Donaldson is by no means a guarantee to stay healthy at any period. So we're cutting Sano, I guess, you know, so first base is open. I guess Kirilloff goes there. You got Larnach and Kepler in the outfield. I just don't know if you want to create like another hole in center. And then I think it would be so hard for them, Matt. And I know you can't rely on Byron Buxton anyway. And I know it's like having Buxton in center is like with a parenthesis, like with a asterisk, you know, it's like, you don't know if you can rely on him in center either, but there are, and they're going to have to remake that bullpen in a way that I think is going to be a huge focus this offseason. You got Duffy and Rogers coming back, I guess, but would that be an area you would look at, Matt, like trading Taylor Rogers? Cause for me, it's like, if something's already bad, I don't know if you trade like your best arm from what's already bad. I don't know about that.
Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like the Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added the baseball to the platform. So check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game is compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code Locked On.
I think Roger. I go back and forth on Rodgers. And in fact, I'd say the only reason I would trade Rodgers is simply because he's going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah.
I know we already had this conversation. It was a significant conversation last year before this season. And now he's going to be 1 year deeper in arbitration. I believe it's his last year of arbitration. Yep. I may be wrong. And so he's going to get
half.
Yeah. Okay. So he's going to get even more. But like you said, I mean, you got something. What's a bird in the hand worth two in the bush? You got your bird in the hand already. You know, you take that, and it's your best bird by far. Duffy, guys like Duffy, Colome, Robles. You know, I'm kind of throwing Duffy into this role now, just because I've been so disappointed in his 2021. And you look at his performance outside of 2019 and 2022. I have little faith in, you know, him finding it back. I honestly jettison him as well. I think a team's going to be looking for him because, again, bullpen arms go during the deadline. So you are looking at, and I think this is going to be the hardest part, rebuilding a bullpen essentially from scratch. You're going to have Rodgers. You have Alcala. I imagine Stashek's going to be back with him. I know people are a little apprehensive. I'd like it if they could stick through the mud with him. Let's stop sending him down every time he has a bad outing. We're not counting our losses at this point. We're done here, you know?
Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, shoot, what is it? Just Luke Farrell? Is it this wide association of waiver wire arms? What do you do? I think that's the more important question. I haven't even figured that one out. You know, I don't think calling up the Juan Manaeas and Derek Laws of the world are really going to be the solution to your problem. So you are going to have to look inwards, maybe convert a starter or two, as much as that may not be something you want to do. You may have to do it out of necessity, and then look at bringing in your weird buy low free agent arms that they like to do. Will that succeed? I'm less confident in saying so, because I think that's probably the place where I'm actually the least confident in, is how do you rebuild this bullpen? Quite frankly, I do not know.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to be working on that for a long time this offseason, you know, and it's funny. I mean, you just look around and you say, wow, we're talking about this on June 2nd. Who would have thunk it? And it sucks. You know, it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. It's not a place that any of us thought we would be in on June 2nd. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, Matt, you have an interesting approach to the deadline. Overall, I think it's hard not to say today that they should be selling. I honestly get a little bit excited about the fact that this is such a unique situation that teams usually don't have this much to sell. You know, they have so many guys on one-year deals. They have guys like Buxton and Berríos who have immense value when healthy, especially with Buxton. You know, Berríos, I think definitely, you mentioned starting pitching at the deadline is always a hot commodity. So I think it's an intriguing deadline. And I think that I said before the season, this year is the barometer for Derek Falvey and Thad Levine regime, you know, because they hadn't won a playoff game. They had a great 2019. 2018 was a disappointment. Second half of 2017 was phenomenal. 2020 was a fluke year, whatever. They had a good year. I thought they put together a good team, you know, for 2020. And I thought this was the year with a surging White Sox club, with a Cleveland team that still was going to compete and with an organization that had lost 18 straight postseason games, I thought this is the year that is going to judge it for me. And unfortunately, right now, it's been a massive flop, and it's a little scary to think about more mistakes that could be made at the deadline. Where's your trust level with that and Derek there and the whole Twins front office? Like, how much has it deteriorated with you because of this start and because of, I mean, you add that in, it's hard not to kitchen sink and say the postseason losses as well.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to break down in that question, but I'll try my best. You've thrown the whole kitchen sink at me. So first and foremost, I might be in the minority, but I still have quite a good deal amount of trust in these guys. I think a lot of what has happened this year, you know, we have seen some regression. We have seen some ugly truths that maybe they should have acknowledged. I'll admit that. But I think the vast majority, well, I don't want to say the vast majority, but a significant portion of what has been their detriment has simply, I know people are going to hate this, but simply is just bad luck. I mean, how many weird late inning games did they blow, and how consistent is that, you know, actually a thing in baseball? It's simply not. It just happened too often. And then it dug them even deeper. And then it compounded with all these injuries and all these guys falling off, you know? And so really it's just been a whole smorgasbord of crap, just a whole mess. And a lot of it's hard to blame them for it. I mean, even look at all the projections. All the projections for the season said the Twins are fine. I believe the Twins are fine. Everyone believed the Twins are fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I find it hard to fault their method then, because the method, by all accounts, seemed fine. And I'll say this much, because this was a huge point I wanted to hit on coming on here, is the Twins are in a perfect position of flexibility regarding what they can do. It's a quite malleable roster in that you're paying, yes, you got a lot of money to Donaldson, but beyond that, you're not really giving a whole lot to everyone. Even the guys like Kepler and Polanco, who you do have multiple years guaranteed, they're not making a whole lot. Mm-hmm. If you want to hold that contract, you want to deal it, you know, you're not in a position where that's going to be holding a team back, you know. Snow's making a little too much money. As I said, you'll bite that, whatever. But other than that, Cruz, one-year deal. Simmons, one-year deal. Colome, one-year deal. Hap, one-year deal. All these one-year deals, they don't matter. You know, it's whatever. So usually we talk about flexibility in the form of adding guys, but this flexibility can kind of go both ways. And I think what we're going to see especially is they're going to keep thinking. We're going to keep observing the team. You know, we still have about a little less than 2 months until the deadline. And truly and honestly, up until like a week before the deadline, they don't have to commit to anything. If they want to, and if they decide, maybe the team goes on a run. Let's say that. Yeah. Team goes on a run. They're in a position where they can add some guys, you know, and we can jettison some guys and it's at no cost. If nothing changes, we get there. They're in the same position we're at now. They're in a position where they can choose who they want to trade, and they don't have to trade everyone if they don't want to. Okay, just because they're in such of an open area as far as roster building. And I have a ton of confidence that they will, in fact, make the right decision, even if it is some unpopular decisions. Like I mentioned before, you trade Dozier, you trade Escobar, you trade Presley. But what are we looking at right now? What even happened today? We had Gilberto Celestino, the other guy from the deal, make his debut. We got Alcala already up, and pretty much everyone likes his potential. And from the Escobar trade, we got Johan Duran in AAA, throwing, you know, 103, yep, allegedly, good Lord. And he's going to be up, you know, melting faces sooner than later. So I have a lot of confidence in them doing these deals, whether they're popular, whether they're unpopular. I know they'll make it because they see it as being the best for the future, even if we may not see it the same way.
Mm. I like that, Matt. You know, I like that we can have a wide view of what's happened overall. But, you know, I assume you followed this series with Baltimore and tried your best not to turn off the TV as I did to try to do that. But that's 2 out of 3 here, 2 out of 3 against Kansas City. They lost, and they're crumbling, you know, after sweeping Baltimore at home last week. It looked like, oh my goodness, they're going to take full advantage of this thing. And they've crumbled. Domnak tonight, he was okay. I thought he was okay throwing the ball. He gets away from him a little bit at times. I thought he was okay, but it's just the lineup for me is just, it's so inconsistent and so inconsistent with runners on. I want to finish with talking about Nelson Cruz, and it's a really difficult. He's a difficult guy to criticize at any time because of how much he's given the organization and how good he has been beyond expectations, far beyond anything any of us expected from him, putting the Twins in some ways, Matt, back on the map in Minneapolis, you know, like as a true contender and helping that 2019 team as much as he did and coming back and carrying the offense in 2020. Everything he's done has just been tremendous, but he's really struggled. You know, he's really, this year he's having his worst stretch as a Twin right now. What have you seen from Nelly? And do you think this is, you know, him, the age catching up to him finally? Injuries, do you think that he's going to bounce back? This is just a bad stretch or kind of a mixture of everything?
You know, I think the injuries have played a significant role, but at the same time, if you just want to solely blame it on the injuries, I would say 40-year-olds are not notorious for coming back from injuries well, so that's still a reason to be concerned. Truly and honestly, I mean, I was watching the game, unfortunately. I should have better things to do, but I saw him be late on a 94-mile-an-hour fastball, and that is simply not the Nelson Cruz we know. If he isn't going to be able to time up that fastball, which is more or less average by today's standards, then you know you get later in the game against these guys throwing 100. You go up against James Karinchak, you go up against Liam Hendricks, I just don't have the same confidence I had when it was 2019 and he was squaring those guys up. Is it a cold streak? Is it, you know, him finding time? And maybe, you know, I don't know. I think only he knows. But from what I've seen, you said it. I know Nick pointed it out, but this was his worst month as a Twin, easily. And when that happens, when you're, you know, almost 41, people are going to start assuming you're on the decline. Now, when we say he's having his worst year, you know, whatever, I mean, he's still got, what, like an 850 OPS, you know. Yep. When it's all said and done, he's still an above-average hitter. But that is quite the drop-off from what he was, which was basically, you know, top five in all of baseball since 2019, truly. And man, I will say also, when you put it that way, he was sort of the catalyst for the 2019 season. I think you're truly correct there. Mm-hmm. He was sort of the embodiment of what that team was about. And it seemed like he helped guide a team that had potential into being a team that didn't just have potential, it had ability. Because and was performing. Because, you know, you can have potential. Everyone has potential. But as Bob Gibson once said, potential just means you haven't done anything yet. So you're quite right in that regard, but I do think it is time to, probably trade him to some other American League team. Some bat's going to go down. Someone's going to want some protection in the lineup in the playoffs. I think he's absolutely going to have suitors, even if he's just, you know, an Albert Pujols like veteran presence. Even the Dodgers are using him, and he's pretty effective for them. So I think it is time to trade him. It is time to send him off to another team. Probably, unfortunately, not going to get a whole lot, but I think it's just the timing is now. Let's see what, you know, the Brent Rookers of the world have to offer us, you know?
No, it's going to hurt, you know.
Oh, it will, absolutely. I won't deny that.
Yeah, that'll hurt. Buck would just kill. Jose would kill. Like, these things, we might be in for a truly painful summer, Matt. I hope you're ready for it.
Imagine the conversations we were having 2 months ago, and now we're having Matt. We're in a painful,
just sad, just very sad. Matt, thanks so much. Let's continue to chase the ghost of 2019, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks, brother.
Of course, as always, great talking with you, man.